listen to a part of a lecture in an environmental science class. The professor has been talking about national parks.
We've been looking at the U.S. national parks, places that the government is trying to preserve. We've seen that some parks go back a few hundred years, like several hot springs in the state of Arkansas, still in existence today, and how others, through the works of certain imaginative writers, have even had myths attached to them, such as Olympic National Park, where the mythical creature Bigfoot is said to roam. Now, any government can just say, "Let's preserve this land." It doesn't cost anything to say something. But if the government is going to follow through, we must ask what national parks produce for people and society in order to understand why a government with finite funds, would decide to put money towards something that doesn't contribute anything in an obvious way. Let's start by looking at Yellowstone National Park. A lot of you probably have seen photographs of Yellowstone, even if you didn't recognize it. Yellowstone is a national park that sprawls over three states, Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. Imagine the amount of cooperation between these states necessary to keep Yellowstone preserved. And now think, the federal money that had to be spent enacting this park was on the scale of millions of dollars, and there are more obvious places that money could be spent, like infrastructure. Does that seem strange? I think it'll help if you think of the state of public opinion towards nature during the beginning of the 19th century. There was this idea of the Great American Wilderness, a land untamed by any person. So it makes sense that the people would want to preserve at least a part of that. It feeds into the idea of rugged America and rugged Americans. With that in mind, let's keep talking about Yellowstone National Park. Actually, not all government officials were convinced that conservation was worth the cost. But there was one person in particular that was the largest advocate for its creation. Ferdinand Hayden was a geologist and a person fascinated by nature and wildlife. He led several government surveys of the American land, including of the Yellowstone region. He was an immediate proponent for the creation of a national park there. It was only due to Hayden's advocacy that the Yellowstone National Park could be created at all. He was the one that convinced the doubtful government that, one, the nature of Yellowstone was worth preserving, and two, that the will of the people was to create a national park there. So you see, it was the perseverance of one person that led to Yellowstone National Park's existence, or at least his perseverance more than anyone else's. Now, let's look at a similar situation. The Grand Canyon National Park is centered around the Grand Canyon in the state of Arizona. I assume that you've all heard of it. It's pretty well known. But not a lot of people know that initially there were efforts to put a huge dam on the Colorado River, which flows through the canyon. That dam probably would have been able to provide electricity for tens of thousands of people, and for a while it was nearly certain that it would be built. But then something happened. The president, President Theodore Roosevelt, visited the Grand Canyon in 1903 and was awed. When he reflected on the experience, he said something like, "Let this great wonder of nature remain as it now is. Do nothing to mar its grandeur, sublimity, and loveliness. You cannot improve on it." And on he went. After his visit, he immediately pushed the government to cancel plans for the dam and instead institute a national park there. His decision to prioritize nature over infrastructure was controversial, but it went through regardless. From then on, the Grand Canyon was practically untouchable. Other than the dam, numerous other proposals were made in order to capitalize on it, including many made by shipping companies that wanted to use the Colorado River. But most proposals were rejected for fear of marring the Grand Canyon's natural beauty. The majority of the public was pleased by Roosevelt's decision. He was seen as a strong president who did everything he could to protect the beauty of the American landscape, something that was important given the expansion of industry that was happening at the time. And I believe the public was pretty much right. As with Yellowstone, it was mostly due to the will and advocacy of one person that the Grand Canyon was preserved at all, and its existence today is basically that person's legacy.